look great, and I most certainly will. Thank you to the students at St. Gabriel's for that introduction. I am Carl Azuz. CNN Student News is kicking off a new week of headlines on this Monday, May 21st. First up, President Obama is wrapping up 4 days of meetings with other world leaders. Started last Friday with the annual two-day gathering of the G8. This is a group of eight powerful countries that gets together every year to discuss global issues. Its members are the U.S., the U.K., France, Germany, Italy, Japan, Russia, and Canada. President Obama hosted this year's meeting at the presidential country residence, that's Camp David. The leaders talked about food issues in Africa, political issues in the Middle East, and Iran's controversial nuclear program. But the main focus of this meeting was on the global economy, specifically on the financial struggles happening around Europe. Brianna Keeler has more.
As the Eurozone crisis enters its third year, we saw a shift at this G8 summit toward a strategy that President Obama has been advocating for some time, focusing not only on government spending cuts, on budget cuts, but also on economic growth and creating jobs, something that has eluded many Eurozone nations for some time now. And President Obama has an eye very much on the crisis there during this election year as it threatens to affect the fragile economic recovery here in the U.S.
After the G8, the U.S. president headed to Chicago for a NATO meeting that started yesterday and runs through today. The leaders of more than 50 countries are at this conference, which is primarily about the war in Afghanistan. At this meeting, the leaders are expected to work on a plan for how security in Afghanistan will shift from NATO forces to Afghan troops. They're mapping out the time frame and looking at who will pay for the increased number of Afghan forces it'll take to secure the country. While the NATO members are working on that inside, war protesters have been gathering outside the conference. And 5 men have been arrested in connection with an alleged terror plot in Chicago. Police say there are no imminent threats to the world leaders at the NATO meeting. Chen Guangchong is a Chinese human rights activist, but he's not in China anymore. On Saturday, Chen, his wife, and his 2 children arrived in the United States. Now, you might remember this name from reports we gave you last month when Chen took shelter at the U.S. Embassy in Beijing after he escaped from house arrest. That caused some tension between the United States and China. Richard Roth was in New York when Chen Guangchong arrived there Saturday night.
Chen arrived here at New York University at Washington Square Village, his new home now. He came here by van from Newark Airport in neighboring New Jersey. Chen was escorted from the van and approached the microphones to cheers of onlookers who screamed, "Welcome to the USA." He's been through a lot and he was grateful.
After much turbulence, I have come out of Shandong. This is thanks to the assistance of many friends.
He thanked the U.S. Embassy. He thanked the Chinese government for calm and restraint in handling the matter. But he's very worried about relatives back home. And he 3 times made the point that the Chinese government should live up to its promises to respect the lives of his family members.
As we see, acts of retribution in Shandong may not have been abated, and my rights to practice law have been curbed. And we hope to see in the future a thorough investigation into these events.
This human rights activist who escaped house arrest by scaling a wall and seeking refuge in the U.S. Embassy in Beijing now wants everyone to try to get along.
I believe that no matter how difficult the environment, nothing is impossible as long as you put your heart to it.
Chen is going to be a fellow studying here with the law department at New York University. It's likely there'll be interviews in the days ahead. And he's going to stay concerned about family back at home. An end for now of what was a huge diplomatic affair. Richard Roth, CNN, New York.
We told you earlier that Italy is part of the G8. The country's prime minister, Mario Monti, was also at the NATO meeting in Chicago. But he headed home early after an earthquake hit Italy early on Sunday morning. The quake had a magnitude of 6.0. It struck around 4 a.m. local time on Sunday. At least 7 people were killed. There were 50 others who were injured. And a large number of people were forced out of their homes by the damage you can see in these pictures. Rescue workers are digging through the rubble in hopes of finding survivors. They'll also be making their way out to search smaller, more remote villages. Prime Minister Monti promised to help victims, saying, quote, "All that is necessary will be done as soon as possible." What you're looking at here is a mountain in Switzerland. But pay attention, because this thing is about to look very different. Watch this. Trees just collapsing. Over the course of several hours, more than 10 million cubic feet of rock slid down the mountainside and into the valley below. Officials evacuated the area to avoid any potential injuries from this landslide. Scientists said the cliff was stable afterward, but it was still classified as a danger zone.
Is this legit? The bugle song Taps is played at the end of the day on U.S. military bases. True. You've probably also heard it played in connection with military funerals.
Taps isn't a complicated song, just 24 notes total. The melody was written by a U.S. Civil War general who didn't like the old lights-out bugle call. He wrote Taps 150 years ago, and in order to commemorate that anniversary, nearly 200 buglers and trumpeters gathered at Arlington National Cemetery over the weekend.
This is the part of the 150th anniversary of Taps, and we're one of over 200 buglers that have been invited here today to give the playing of bugles all over Arlington Cemetery, National Cemetery today. If this doesn't make you proud to be an American, I don't know what's wrong with you.
It's just such an honor to play that for them. It's for the family as well, but I think of it as playing to that person, just a final thank you for what they did.
Well, CNNStudentNews.com is our homepage. You know that address, all the great stuff you can find there. We want you to make us your homepage. Our daily show is going on break in just a few weeks. We are going to be updating our site throughout the summer with new posts from our blogs from A to Z and schools of thought. You can keep up with us. Keep up with everything we've got going on by making us your homepage today.
Today's shout out goes out to Miss Borman's classes at Washington Middle School in Evansville, Indiana. What does the prefix amphi mean? You know what to do. Does it mean loud, both, water, or split? You've got 3 seconds. Go. Amphi means both, like an amphibian, which can live both on land and in water. That's your answer, and that's your shout out.
Today's Before We Go report is about something that's amphibious, but we're not talking about a frog. This is a car, and it is fast. It looks fast. On land, this thing goes up to 180 miles per hour, and after you take it for a spin, you can take it for a swim. Top speed in the water, a little over 60, which is pretty fast for that. It's called the Sea Lion, and it took an engineer 6 years to design and build it. This kind of thrill ride doesn't come cheap. In fact, you might not believe me if I told you how much it costs. It's nearly $260,000. No lion, see? Now, hopefully there are some interested buyers who will spend that much. Otherwise, I guess this amphibious car idea might just be washed up. It's time for us to hit the road after treading over a few puns. For CNN Student News, I'm Carl Azuz, and we will look forward to seeing you on Tuesday.